A very special guest joins us. Actor Bob McGrath is best known as Bob from Sesame Street, but he'll be walking over to Broadway this month. He has been on the popular PBS series since its inception for 35 years and is currently working on Santa Meets the Ice Dragon, an original holiday musical that will debut on the 10th, just a couple of nights from now, at the Beacon Theater. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Hi, Peter. I'm great. How are you?
Fine. Thanks for being on the program with us this evening. Nice to have a chance to talk to you.
Likewise. Haven't been to Montreal for a while, but just always loved going there.
I know you used to come up here into the Telethon sometimes, right?
We did the CFCF Hôpital for the Hôpital Saint-Justin and the Montreal Children's Hospital. There were wonderful telethons, beautifully produced for many years.
Now, you are doing the show, Santa Meets the Ice Dragon. Tell us about that.
Well, it originated in Antwerp, Belgium last year. They did about 40 or 50 performances there, and it's come over here this year. She's decided to bring it over, and of course they have a whole new cast because that was all a Flemish-Belgian cast there. It's like a symphonic tale with original music played by roughly 30 members of the American Symphony Orchestra, so we have a wonderful band in the pit with 30 members of a great orchestra, and about a dozen terrific dancers and a real mix of modern and tap and sort of some from Cirque du Soleil sort of style, because the choreographer from Belgium, Gilles Molnar, has worked with them, and John McInnes, who was at Radio City and so forth. So there's wonderful dancing, great music, and I'll be acting as the narrator, both as an actor and singer throughout the production. I'm the only one that sings or talks in the whole show, so I sing and talk, mainly talk on behalf of not only myself, but on all of the other characters in the show,
now,
and four or five songs.
How did you become attached to this particular venture?
It was brought to my manager's attention by Ann Geenan, who conceived the show. It was her concept many years ago when Y2K was happening and like the sky was falling, and she thought, what would happen if there's never another Christmas? And so that was the germ of the idea. And so it's based around... It's rather an intriguing, suspenseful story, sort of a cross between maybe Hans Christian Andersen and Harry Potter. It has some dark themes into it, actually. It's not a fluff kind of piece. And the idea was it's basically talking about the light of wishes, which keeps hope and love and light and all good things alive in the world. And if that goes out, then everything else goes out with it, the spirit of Christmas and so forth. So The wicked ice dragon, of course, is the bad guy in this whole thing, and he's been attempting to blow lights and candles out throughout the world. So it's kind of a fight to the finish to see whether he's able to do that to the only one flame that's strong and powerful enough to relight this light of wishes, which he has blown out. So it's quite a suspenseful, kind of intriguing story.
Do you get an opportunity quite often to step out of your Bob on Sesame Street persona and do stuff like this?
Well, this is a little unique. I step out all the time for 35 years, mainly doing all of my children's concerts, which I've done in all over, not only all over Canada, but in North America. And I have several programs that I do there. I've worked with, I guess, over 100 and some symphony orchestras over the years, doing a variety of kinds of programs, holiday shows and educational shows and et cetera. But this is really somewhat of a new venture for me. This is, quote-unquote, the first Broadway show that I've ever done. It's not something I've ever gone after, because my other work has really kept me quite busy enough. But so it's rather challenging. There's a great deal of memorization to do. Not only the songs are not that difficult, but there's a lot of dialogue, and I'm basically just talking by myself. It's not a normal play. We'd be having conversation back and forth between other people. So it's a stretch and a challenge, and I love it.
Sounds like sort of Our Town for the Christmas set.
Yeah, something like that. And we're going to be at the Beacon Theater. I don't know if you know that theater, but it's a wonderful old theater with a great tradition. They bring a lot of single, solo, major stars in there all the time. So this might be one of the longer shows that they've had in there. And actually, we have our first dress on stage there tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening from 7 to 10 or 11. We did two out-of-town shows and started tightening things up, and we're still finishing touches. So we're kind of anxious to get at it. We start on Friday. We have a show Friday and Saturday matinee, and then the hard opening with critics is Saturday night. So we're all heading in that direction, but it's pretty exciting.
I think the
parents are going to enjoy the fact that their kids are having a chance to almost go to like a symphony concert and like a wonderful evening of dance and a great play all wrapped in one.
Not to jinx it with any kind of prognostication, but do you think this is the kind of thing that would have legs, and by that I mean become a perennial?
That's absolutely what Ann Gainan and the producers have in mind. We feel, hopefully if it's well received, that it'll be fall in the category of the Nutcracker, and maybe, you know, the options in town are the Nutcracker and Radio City Music Hall and a number of other things, but those are sort of the two big ones that have been around for years. So if it's well received, they already have, you know, asked me if I'm available for next year. So yes, we'd like to think it's a perennial.
We are talking with Bob McGrath here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. He is getting ready to do a performance of Santa Meets the Ice Dragon, which is taking place in New York City at the Beacon Theater, debuting on the 10th of December, which is this coming Friday. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800. And we are talking with Bob McGrath, better known.
How come, Peter, every time I pick up the phone, I hear those kids singing that?
Every time,
no matter what time of the day I pick up the phone, there they are singing it.
You've heard that once or twice, huh?
A couple of times for 35 years, yeah.
When you started on Sesame Street 35 years ago, did you ever have any idea the impact that show would have on two generations of kids?
I don't think we could have hoped for that. I mean, I think we all had pretty good feelings about the show even partway through that first year, and certainly by the end of the first year we were getting wonderful feedback. We were almost the only game in town other than Captain Kangaroo and Fred Rogers. And of course, you've got some great shows up there, but in the States there were other smaller shows. But to think that it might be surviving, we're into our 36th year right now, and it might be in 120 English-speaking countries and about 21 foreign co-productions. I think there's a new one happening in Bangladesh and India right now, from what I hear. That would be inconceivable. But Joan Cooney had a great idea, and I think the show has kept up the level that it needed to have, and we just won an Emmy last year for still the best preschool show. So after 35 years, we're very proud of that.
Now, unfortunately, it was one of the shows that was lost on me because it came along when I was 11.
Huh?
So I was beyond the age group that your show was targeted, but you could see, I mean, when it came on, it was just like hypnotic to kids. Just,
well, it
absolutely
is. It was
hypnotic.
It was, well, you know, there was almost 2 years worth of very intense research prior to the first show ever going on the air, so they really did it right, and it's still as heavily researched right now, every show, as it was 35 years ago. In fact, it's always interesting when the writers get their work assignments and so forth. Each year, as it did this year, will say the 36th experimental season of Sesame Street. And it really is an ongoing experiment. It's constantly changing to meet the kids' needs of today's kids as opposed to, you know, a generation or so ago, because an awful lot of things change in kids' lives in the last 30 years.
Now, something that I remember from when I was a kid was watching Sing Along with Mitch.
Your mommy let you stay up late enough?
Oh yeah. I was hypnotized by following the bouncing ball. Even though I might have been able to read at that point, it was like, oh, this is cool.
So was most of Japan, because we toured there for a month, and they were learning it. They were watching it to learn English because of watching the lyrics and so forth. But yeah, it was a wonderful show. I just talked to Mitch a couple of months ago. He's, I think, 93 on the last 4th of July and still in good health and going strong. But we had a wonderful time, 25 guys plus 8 or 10 girls, the dancing girls, and Leslie Uggams and Diana Trask and so forth. In fact, I just saw Leslie Uggams in a play about a month ago, and we had a great little reunion. But that was a great fun show to do, and there's still a few of us surviving that show. But that was good.
The only way I can describe your career is just blessed.
I would say so. I've been singing since I was about 5 years old in all sorts of things, but one of my favorite expressions is, you know, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans, because every time I make very serious plans about certain things, I end up going a different direction, but it's all worked out incredibly well. I mean, you know, the Mitch Miller thing was a very nice opening for me, a break after I worked on a degree here in New York. And then that opened up Japan for me, where I spent the better part of 3 years, about 9 or 10 trips over there, because we had toured there, and I found out I had Babu Magula's fan clubs all over the country. So I ended up going back about every 3 months for 6-7 weeks at a time. So, and then I was home for a short time after that, deciding not to go back because I was kind of being away from home too much, Sesame sort of didn't really fall in my lap. I heard about it, and when someone first mentioned that there's a new kid show, do you think you'd be interested? I said, no, not in the least, because I thought it might be another not-so-terrific, you know, kiddie show. There's a little on the silly side. And then when I was called in a couple months later and I saw some of the early animation and film, and had a guy by the name of Jim Henson I'd never heard of at that point, and saw some of that Muppet work and realized this was going to be really a very different and quite brilliant show. So hundreds of us auditioned on videotape, and they showed it to a bunch of five-year-olds around the country, and they narrowed it down to a cast of four. And so I got my job from five-year-olds, basically. So.
Well, you're
very lucky.
What were your original plans? You said you made plans and they went awry. What were your plans when you first got into performing?
Well, I mean, I came to New York to get a graduate degree in voice at Manhattan School of Music out of a couple of years in the Army in Germany. And I had hoped to be able to sing professionally, but, you know, one never knows. It's a sketchy business. And so I was teaching in a private boys' school while I was getting a degree, and I thought I might have to go that direction, which I enjoyed. And then I freelanced everything from rock and roll dates at night to Gregorian chants, and, you know, singing in the morning and recording with Igor Stravinsky and a quartet in Pablo Casals. So I was doing just about every kind of music possible. But from the Japan thing, I was performing major concerts for several thousand teenagers over there, and I thought I'd love to be another Andy Williams, Perry Como. Those were sort of my heroes when I first came to New York, because I thought the shows were beautifully produced. And I thought maybe I could be another kind of, you know, in that style, because I was doing all of that kind of thing in Japan on NHK and all the television shows there. But by then the Beatles had invaded and music had been turned upside down, so, you know, that never would have happened. That was when I said, no, not in the least would I be interested. That's sort of what I had in the back of my mind, but thank God I took a look and ended up the direction I have, because I've had just some of the best jobs in the whole world in the last 35, 40 years.
It's funny, you mentioned both Perry Como and Andy Williams, and I know that at Christmas time, PBS usually runs their specials. And for me, it's not Christmas unless I see at least one, if not both, of their Christmas shows.
Yeah, they were just produced in the... Well, both of them were just, you know, fine singers, musicians, and I love that style. It's nice and easy, but well done. And their production values were just top-notch. And so I admired that enormously, and I never would have been able to do that sort of thing here, but I was able to do it in Japan. I would get, you know, huge orchestras and a lot of... For one television show I did, I think, 135 spots, and so they played them every night. It was like being a regular on The Tonight Show every night. So that gave me the opportunity to really learn kind of my skill and what's possible here. You'd get, you know, if you got a three-piece band, you'd be happy. And there they said, how many do you want in your orchestra? And I started off, I said, well, you know, a full big band, which is about 15 with brass and reeds. And they said yes, and they looked up, and I saw I was able to go on, I said, in a full string complement. So, you know, I got the whole works, 30, 35, 40 people for some concerts, which was Patti Page and I did a joint concert in Osaka one night together, and just a lot of wonderful memories.
Patti Page with Singing Rage.
Wow. Yeah, she's still out there doing it. I just talked to somebody that works with her, as a matter of fact. So she's still doing Tennessee Waltz and the spinning mirror ball, I understand. So.
We were talking with Bob McGrath here on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800. He's performing coming up at the Beacon Theater in New York City in Santa Meets the Ice Dragon. We have a few more minutes to go with Bob. This is Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800.
You're listening to Holder Tonight with Peter Anthony Holder on Montreal's News Talk Leader CJD 800.
Peter Anthony Holder here with you on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJD 800. We are talking with Bob McGrath. He is soon to be appearing starting this week in New York City at the Beacon Theater in a performance of Santa Meets the Ice Dragon. It runs through until the 28th of December, in case you want to catch one of those quick one-hour flights down to New York and see his performance. Bob, tell me, who's more in awe when they meet you? Kids who are currently watching Sesame Street or those who grew up watching Sesame Street?
I would say definitely those that grew up watching the show, and for a number of reasons. One, there are so many more shows available for kids. There's probably a half a dozen networks, each with pumping out four or five different shows, so they can really click around to a lot of different shows. I mean, kids are still interested, but it's a little different environment now in terms of the cast than it was many years ago. And the reaction to kids even 15, 16, 17, but particularly kids in their mid-20s, early 30s, that's just great fun. They just flip. I mean, we just did the Macy's Day Parade with 2.5 million people up and down the street, and it's fun to see cops in their 30s and 40s dancing and acting like four-year-olds jumping, you know, as the boat goes by. And you get that a lot. And really funny reaction. Sometimes little teenagers when they're 14, 15 will take a look and they'll break into uncontrollable laughing. And I said, you know, what's going on? They said, well, it's just a throwback. We just remember sitting in front of the TV with our peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and the whole thing all comes back to them. And then I've had grown women burst into uncontrollable sobbing and crying. they said they can't explain why, except, again, it's the same thing as kind of a rush of all of their early wonderful memories. So when I do my concerts, it's great fun because now it's a double generation. It's all the parents that grew up with the show and bringing their kids, and, you know, they all both know the music and everything, and so it's really a wonderful audience. I love performing, especially with symphonies.
You've done the performing all over the world, and that's in your comfort zone. You've been on Sesame Street for 35 years, so that's certainly in your comfort zone. Doing something like this, Santa Meets the Ice Dragon, does that take you a little bit out of your comfort zone?
It takes me a little bit out of my comfort zone, and I can't wait to get maybe a half a dozen shows under my belt. I had a good day today, I have to tell you. I breezed through the first act with no problems and no word slippages, hardly, with one or two exceptions. And the second act was a little shakier, but by the time I spend 4 or 5 hours on that, I'll clean up a little bit of that. I think once we get through the early opening jitter type things, which are natural, I think it's just going to be tremendously fun. I have no problem working with an audience. I love working with an audience. The challenge here is making sure that you have all your lines and you don't slip and go down on a line here and there. But hopefully if I do, you can kind of fake it through a little bit. But the challenge here is that the choreography is, for a great part of the show, is very specific to the music and to the words. And so if I'm not saying precisely the word that's supposed to be said, then the choreography doesn't make any sense. So it's kind of a double pressure of not just memorizing lines, but make sure that you're in sync with the music and with exact the choreography. So that's been a challenge the last week or so in rehearsals, and it's coming together. So my kids are very worried about it. My daughter just called and said, how are you? Are you okay? And how's mom doing? And, you know, all of that kind of thing. And so and my other son said, you have to get a car service. You can't drive in and out of this thing with 6 shows and 3 matinees a week, but I have no intention of doing that. I like driving, and I'm pretty independent.
The show is called Santa Meets the Ice Dragon. It's being performed at the Beacon Theater in New York City. Anybody going to New York City for the holidays, it's running from the 10th to the 28th. People can check out the website, www.santameetstheicedragon.com. You can also go for tickets at ticketmaster.com. Bob McGrath, it's been an honor and a pleasure to have you on the program this evening. Thanks for being with us tonight.
It's been great talking to you, and I wish I'd get to Montreal more frequently, because it's a wonderful city. And the Ice Dragon, by the way, it's about a 20-foot Ice Dragon that gets sort of done in at the end, but... We'd both like to invite anybody that's coming down. I hope they'll stop in and see the show.
Take care, sir.
Thank you. Thanks, Peter. Bye.